This is a podcast about living out of intimacy, a conversation over coffee about a living God whose desire is to live out of you. Pour yourself a cup of coffee and join us. I'm Jason Goodson.
And I'm Johnny Taylor.
And this is Coffee and Conversations.
Welcome to the podcast, Coffee and Conversations. I'm Jason Goodson, and this is Johnny Taylor right here. And we are coming to you from the offices of Xander Realty.
They were gracious enough to let us borrow their office to do our podcast tonight, and the fact that we're videoing, which is something different outside of our fireside chats we did.
Right. A little different, but good.
Definitely.
Well, we welcome you in, those of you who are listening to us. We have, like I said, over the last several years, some things that we have come up and God has shown us, and that great podcast topics, and I think just some things that God has put on our hearts to share, and so it should be a really good conversation. And we're drinking your coffee, JT. Let's talk about that real fast.
Yeah, I'll kind of be a little bit of a catch up. I have recently, within the last 8 or 9 weeks, started up a new business, TaleoRoasters.com, selling fresh roasted coffee, because life is too short to disappoint your taste buds.
It is too short to disappoint. And this coffee does not disappoint your taste buds either. And
this tonight is a little weak because I didn't quite make it right.
Well, it's still good. It still has good flavor. It still has the potential for you to wake up every morning and make that perfect cup of coffee that you like, and go to TaleoRoasters.com.
Yes. Unfortunately, I can't ship, because I'm a cottage business.
Well, he's a cottage business, but if you're around here local,
I even deliver for free within 4 miles.
That's right. And I recommend, personally, the John Calvin Roast, or the Calvin Roast.
Yes.
And it's sure to make you a hyper-Calvinist. We're not going to talk about being a Calvinist tonight, but that's just the name of the coffee. But it's really, it's high caffeine. It's a medium roast, and it's really good. And it's got a great flavor to it. And if you like good coffee, this is the way to go. And
it's Costa Rican.
And it's my favorite. And that's what we drink at the Goodson household. But you may like the decaf. You may like the light roast or the breakfast roast or the.
You've got the Total Eclipse Roast, which is a Sumatran.
Total Eclipse Roast, that's good.
I don't have any decaf right now because the new crop has not come in on the water decaf stuff, so I'm still waiting.
All right, so there you have it, man. We have some things that's going on. I'll catch you up on me real fast. Believe it or not, some life changes for me has happened over the last 3 months, and I spent my first, 14 years in education in Mineola High School, and did some coaching then at that time and teaching, and got my working on my principal certification, and just about finished there. I finished the PASL, still got to do the 268 test, but yeah. I got hired at Quitman ISD as the Quitman junior high assistant principal. So it's a little different story for me now. I'm in an administrative role, and
it's funny that you actually live closer to Quitman ISD than you do to Mineola ISD.
That's exactly right. So, as the coffee cup says right here, I am a Quitman Bulldog now. I know all you Mineola people, don't hold it against me. My kids are still in Mineola. They're still participating as students and athletes in Mineola, but, I'm going to be at Quitman Junior High. My wife will be still at the front desk at the new primary at the Loop over there. So it should be a good time for us to, the kids to be able to get started at that school. And just like all my kids are going to be in sports this year, it's going to be busy and a lot of things going on.
Fact that you have one that's ready to start second year of college?
And
Lake Forest Ranch now?
She's at Lake Forest Ranch. Her name is Zoe Goodson, and she is loving every second of it. So it's been really cool. And she had last week, just a quick thing before we move into the podcast, but she had a opportunity. She hosted a cabin this past week with three former work staff people. Buster Leach, his daughter.
Yeah.
Stacy Bloodworth's daughter, and Grayson Campbell's daughter.
That's so just
we're
crazy.
All in the same cabin together, same week. And she was able to be their counselor. And
I don't think they probably didn't know who she was.
Well, they didn't as first came in, but they saw her name, Zoe Goodson, and asked. And so it was like a, oh my gosh, I cannot believe it, you know, type moment.
We get to be in a Goodson cabin.
Yeah, well,
their parents were in your cabin. Some of them.
Well, some of them we worked on work staff with. And so it was just, yeah, there was some deep connection there, man. It was really strange, and God did some cool stuff. And anyways, so that was neat for her. But I want to dive into the podcast topic tonight, Hero Coffee Conversations. And we're, again, excited that you're with us. And we want to talk about the most important question tonight. And I think there's a big detail in what we're going to go into and talk about.
I'm not sure anybody would have guessed that this would be the question we would be saying is the most important question.
The one we're going to talk about tonight?
Right.
Yeah. So it's the most important question. And just kind of give you a background, a little bit of a history there for us at this podcast. I think the things we've done in this podcast is just had, you know, we've had conversations about God throughout the years, but also just the idea of the importance of identifying who we are in Christ and who he is and us and how we are a part of that in such a way that it's mind-boggling and blowing, mind-blowing in that same process.
I think I said this to you not long ago, talking about, you know, different people are called in ministry to different things.
Right.
Billy Graham was an evangelist.
Right.
And things like that. And just the thought struck me a few weeks ago that I don't know that mine and Jason's ministry is not sharing, one, who Christ is, but two, who we are in Christ.
I think that's because that may be the biggest draw to the call that I've had in being a minister of the gospel.
Yeah.
In that whole situation where I've been able to, I think I've been able to do that more in the school, the hallways of the school.
Yeah.
Just being a teacher and a coach and stuff like that, and just being able to live it out in front of people has been really cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically we want to start out, we can't talk about the whole thing without telling you the questions to start with because it wouldn't make any sense. But let's go over to Mark 8:27. And it says, now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea and Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? And so they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, others one of the prophets. But here comes the question.
Okay.
The most important. He said to them, but who do you say that I am?
The most important question. Who do you say that I am? Well, that's a good one.
It's because until you resolve this question, there is no relationship.
Right.
There, until you decide in your mind the answer to this, there can be no relationship there because until you acknowledge who Jesus is,
right,
you can't have a relationship with him.
Exactly right. I agree with that.
And it went, and let's see. You know, and Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. And that carries a lot of meaning when you're a Hebrew.
Very much so.
You know, a lot of times people might say that today and it not carry much meaning. And we're going to talk a little bit about what it means before you're a Christian, but then we're also going to talk about how we answer that question as we've grown, as we've read more scripture.
Right.
What does it mean after? And the thought I've had is this is a question that I continually ask myself. And it has changed. Who he is in the beginning when I became a Christian has not changed. But who he is to me over time has definitely changed.
Right. Who do men say that I am? Well, I could go back and just talk about that position has changed quite often for me, I think, over the years. And I will say this, not that anything he has done has not changed. because if he was to change, well, he wouldn't be God.
No.
And so, but what I have come to terms with is I think when I accepted Christ as Savior, when I had the moment of that, I was 16 years old. I was a teenager trying to figure all this out, you know, trying to figure out who I was as a person. And then, but my perspective on God was built on years and years of being a Baptist, of being, you know, of being a, you know, a, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, the doctrine, being indoctrinated in this. Yeah. Not that that was bad. I don't have a problem with being, because I am a Baptist, but it's just the thing that I had was pre-ordered and already instilled as I believed in who Christ was and who he was in me all of a sudden.
Yeah, it was that. Well, same with me. It was like I wasn't indoctrinated in a Baptist, but I'd heard of Christ. I knew about Christ. Right. I knew quite a bit about Christ. Mm-hmm. I didn't know him, though.
Yes. Well, and I didn't know him either. And that's the thing is I didn't have it, but I had an idea of who he was.
Yeah.
I could think, you know, we've said this before. I could sit here and tell you a lot about who God is. I could tell you a lot of things about God and write them on the walls. And I had great details about what he did in scripture. I've heard all the stories, all the things that made sense in that. However, one of the things that allowed me to be able to actually have this, you know, fortifying relationship that I have with him now that is way beyond where it started.
Yeah.
Okay. And the stages have grown and grown and grown. Who'd have been saying back then, I would have said, he is my Savior and Lord.
Yeah.
And people were like, yes, that's it.
Yep.
That's it. You're right. You're all, you got it. You know, you're good. But I didn't understand the depth of that.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that how much of a Savior he was and why he saved me.
Yeah.
Difference from being just a Savior. He's just my Savior and Lord. Oh, he saved me from my sentence in hell. He saved me from this. But man, I had no clue who he was.
Yeah.
No clue at all.
And didn't,
it was a foreign, he was almost like a foreign God to me.
Yeah. And really didn't understand what he saved me to.
Exactly. Yes.
That was the thing. Yes. I was totally missing at the beginning.
Right. Whew, it's good. Because if you don't, I think everybody has a progression in the starting spot. Because if you don't, I mean, you're going to have to build and learn and grow. He's going to do that for you, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where right now, I can sit here compared to then, today, compared to then, I don't worry about growth anymore.
No.
I'm not saying I've made it, but I don't sit and think about, am I doing better today than I did yesterday?
It's because our
answer. Am I doing better today than I did last month? Am I doing better this year than I did last year? I'm not doing that anymore.
It's because that answer to that question has changed.
Absolutely.
Because right after I got saved, there was this desire and wanting to know him. And then I was told, well, you got to do all these things.
Correct.
Or he's going to turn his back on you.
Mm. Ooh, sad.
You can't look on sin.
You can't look on sin, right?
which is a scripture, but it's said in sarcasm.
Mm.
Am I so holy that I can't look on sin? I think he said that to Job, didn't he?
Yes. All right.
Yeah, and it was very sarcastic. Like, well, who do you think I am?
Who do you think this is?
Once again, who
we're
do you
going
say
back
I,
to Mark.
We're yeah. going right back to the question again.
But I think it comes with a lot. And but when I finally, I don't know, maybe the first taste of this was, I guess, after I met you in 96 at Lake Forest. And
it's been a while.
It's been a while. And but just the perspective of who God was started to change.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm saying is I had this, like I said, I always thought God was mad at me.
Yeah.
I always thought he had this like anger towards me because listen, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but here's what I do know is this guy can sin pretty good.
Well, I thought I was I must be the most horrible person in the world.
Yes.
And yeah. I was never going to get my ducks in a row.
like ducks. Yeah, nothing in a row. I had nothing in a row.
And I still don't most of the time.
That's right. And well, it's just what I'm saying. It's like the difference of then and now is a pretty significant gap.
It's like you said, I don't worry. There's a lot of things that I worried about that almost drove me as crazy as when I was lost.
Mm. Very much so.
But then, you know, God starts opening your eyes to who he is.
Correct.
And you start looking at scripture and you quit listening to all the world out there telling you who he is, which is the point here. He just told them, it don't matter who they think I am. It's who you think I am.
Mm.
And all that, if you get into scripture and you really look at scripture and look at it for what it says and put all of it together, then your picture will totally change from when you first started.
Hmm. That's really good. There's no way that you cannot have a relationship with Christ through with God and not have a change.
No.
Not if you're pursuing intimacy with him. Not if you're pursuing the depths of who he is. And it's a relationship, man.
Yeah,
it's a total different perspective of what I used to think.
It's not keeping a list of rules.
That's right.
And measuring up to some standard somebody set.
Right.
It's a relationship.
Right.
And you're not being changed from the outside in. You're changed from the inside out.
That's right.
As things become real on the inside, all of a sudden they start showing up on the outside.
And I want to get something straight here. I'm not mad at the church. I'm not mad at the people in the church. I'm not mad at any pastors. I'm not mad at any of my Bible teachers that I've ever had. I'm not mad at any of those people because, you know, there were some times there that I felt really mad about those people. I was mad at those people. Why did you take me down this road? Why did you? those were legit questions that I had that I struggled with. You know, why are we going down this pathway here?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. I come back to understanding of this. It really doesn't matter in the whole.
Well, it was the path he had set for us.
And what brought me out of all that perspective is this understanding is that, well, I went from not resting here to resting.
Yeah.
And just being me, you know, being him and me. And having that lived out and fleshed out inside of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
Peace becomes real on the inside. Rather than all that struggling.
It's different. That's right. And I think in the world we live in now, and this is not a very popular saying.
Oh. Did you hear that? We have our screaming goat tonight. Every time we get into something controversial, we'll let the goat remind us.
And I'll just remind you of this, too, is that I think there are many Christians who are out there tonight who don't understand the depths of who they are in Christ.
No.
And that's controversial because a lot of people go, yes, I do. No, you don't. Have you really searched it out? Have you really opened up the Bible and read it? You know, there's things that you and I have done in our lives. I bet I've trailed through the Bible 3 or 4 times from start to finish. And during those 3 to 4 times I've trailed through the Bible, and all those things have come back to me now.
Yeah.
But the depth of the knowledge that God has instilled in that and beginning to see who he is in me.
Yeah. Because we've been told that we're this body and this flesh. When Paul said it, this is one of those that just said it.
Right.
If it's no longer I, but sin that dwells in me. Because who I am is one with God.
Is one with God. That's exactly right.
And if you're one with something, we're not talking in unity.
Right.
We're talking numerical one.
Right.
We're the body.
Yep.
You know, this finger is one with me.
That's right.
It's a finger, but it's one with me. It's everything I am.
Yep.
If it's hurting, all of me hurts.
That's exactly right.
My head knows about it and feels it. Matter of fact, it's my head that feels it.
Mm-hmm.
The finger don't ain't really. It's just telling
it's
the
a
head.
Sign that there's something different and wrong going on there.
Yeah. But we don't, we, because we look outwardly.
Yes.
On the outward. I can't remember the scripture, but it's in the scripture where I think it's Jesus said, I know no man, or it might have been Paul. I can't remember.
I know no man according to the flesh.
According to the flesh.
Yes.
And we're not talking, well, we're positionally.
Right.
No, we are what Christ says we are. That's not a position that we hold until right. Someday we get there.
2 Corinthians 5:16, by the way.
You want to pull her up and read her there?
Yeah. Here it is. It's therefore, and I come, and I read from the New King James Version Bible. This is my favorite version, so that's what I read from. Therefore, from now on, we regard no man, no one. We regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer.
No longer.
Yeah. Then it goes into, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new.
New creation.
Creation.
Everything is new.
Everything.
There's no old left.
There's no old left. All things have become new. That's right.
You know,
yes.
I'm still carrying around this sin in this fleshly body, but guess what? When this body dies, all the old, anything that was old goes with it. But that's not me. I'm who I am after this body dies is the same as I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference. Right. Nothing changes in who I am when I die. So.
Sounds like we got a guest.
Probably people from upstairs.
Oh, gotcha. But anyways.
We had to leave the door open because it was a little warm with it closed.
But no longer for those in Christ Jesus. Look here. Okay, the old things have passed away. We talked about that. Now all things have become new. Now think about this. The perspective. Who do you say that I am? Yeah. How has that changed?
Oh, just first couple of years after I started my relationship with Christ, with all the stuff I was told and everything, I looked at him. He's an angry father or angry.
Mm-hmm.
He's angry mostly because, you know, and I just can't do right. And he's so disappointed in me.
Right.
And I'm never going to get this together. There's no way I can get this together. And then, as time went on, I started seeing, like the verse we just read.
Right.
All things became new. And started asking, well, what does that mean? Questions like that. And why did God save me?
Ooh.
And then one day I realized it was so we could have an intimate relationship. And he took care of everything that would prevent that. There's nothing left that would prevent that. That day that I said, yes, I surrender. I have no other hope.
Right.
Everything was done. Since we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, there's no more to get if we've been blessed with all.
Exactly right.
So that's the way it is. And that's how, and as that changed, and I could rest in, he's done the work. It's finished.
Right.
It's done. That's probably the most important statement that Jesus made. It's finished.
It is finished.
Quit trying to continue making it happen.
Right.
Just rest.
Just rest.
What was it he told the children of Israel at the Red Sea? Stand still.
Stand still.
Don't do anything.
Right.
Stand still. And we're not saying you won't do anything. We're just saying you don't have to try to do anything because there's stuff you'll do that you can't help but
That's right.
do. You won't be happy not doing it.
Exactly right.
Because you know that's who you are.
It's good. It's good. I want to hit this. Did we talk about the A.W. Tozer quote?
No, we never did talk about that. We just got right into the meat of all this
together. But I wanted to touch on that because we talked about the anger of God and all that. But I remember being at Lake Forest.
Yeah.
And going through a little process of drawing out the picture of God, our current picture of God during that time.
Yeah.
And what that picture of God was. And this came from this quote. Brian Lowe used it as a part of the quote for us. So,
yeah.
And the quote is, whatever comes into your heart and mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. All right. And that's the opening statement in the Knowledge of the Holy.
I think it is.
Whatever comes into your heart and mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So that's why the question is so important.
Oh, yeah.
Because, that's why it's the most important question.
Because
who do you say that he is?
Because what you think of God is what's going to be the answer to that question every time you wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing I think about when I think about our ministry is it doesn't make me mad. It makes me so sad when I see somebody that doesn't see Jesus for what he is.
Yes.
It breaks my heart because I know you're missing out on so much.
Right.
It's not about, oh, you better get right with God. No. There's life here. Real life, not imitation.
Well, that would be my answer today. Life.
It's life.
It's life, man.
It's everything.
It's this. Yes. And that's it's a beautiful part of who we are and who he is in us. And it gives us the opportunity to be able to really, I think, live that out no matter the situation.
Yeah.
I can be, again, as an administrator in the hallways, living that out.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
And people see that.
Right.
Because they see our scripture, what is it, from 1 Corinthians about that Christ might be made manifest in our mortal bodies.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the first of five, isn't it?
But life. And this is life that you know.
John 17:3,
yeah.
Eternal life.
Not just for a moment. Eternal quality, that's a quality of life too. That's not just it's eternally being like him.
Mm-hmm. Here's another thing. Scripture. You're talking about scripture. Scriptures that just say it. Scriptures that Mark. You were talking about Mark 8 earlier.
Yeah.
Mark 14, go down to here. Is Mark 14, 61 and 62 right there. You know, this answers, but he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, what did he say?
I am,
and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power. And coming with the clouds of heaven.
Yeah. And we'll go back to the start here again. It's a free gift. Totally free gift. And things I've been thinking about, there is, and it's not religion that he's giving you.
Right.
It's himself in a relationship that is intimate as any relationship there is. Ooh. And it's free. It's been paid for.
It's good. All authority in heaven. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Yep.
Good. Good stuff. What else?
Just pray for us.
Absolutely.
Christ might be made manifest in our mortal bodies.
That's right.
Because that's been our.
That's been my prayer.
Because we can't.
Right.
This flesh can help nobody.
Yeah.
It's still here, and it can't help anybody. Can't help me. Can't help him.
Well, and I got that.
But here's the thing. It can't stop Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I used to think it could. But it can't stop him. And if he manifests in our mortal bodies, the world around us will change.
That's right. Exactly right. Think about this. My thought that I had just walked.
Like I said, we were a lot younger when we started this.
It was there, and then it screamed away. I'm going to have another sip of coffee.
I did something last week, Jason, I've never done before in my life, and it was just a reminder I'm getting old. We said we were going to meet for coffee at the coffee shop. Never crossed my mind again.
Shocked.
Until I picked up my phone after the time, and there was a text there. Hey, I'm at the coffee shop if you're interested.
I was not upset.
It was so discouraging, though, because I was like, dang it, I'm getting old. I'm going to start setting more calendar reminders.
You know, and I'm sitting here. It was a perfect opportunity to sit down on my computer and go to work. And all of a sudden, it was like, boom, you know, there it was, and I didn't have.
I'm surprised he didn't come looking to see if I was dead.
I figured there was something going on, and I've only been worried about that one time, and that was when old Ross called me, and I had to go to his house, and there was, you know, that's a whole story in itself. But anyways, I will say this. Just knowing that the life I live now, it goes back to Galatians 2:20. The life I live now, I don't live. It's no longer about this.
No.
Me.
It's not me trying.
Not I, Paul said, right? But who?
But Christ.
Not I, but Christ.
He is my life and you're living. And guess what? He's met every thing, every jot and tittle of the law, he has met it.
He has met it. That's right.
There is nothing to be said against him.
Not I, but Christ.
So if it's not I, but Christ, then who I am.
Yeah, exactly right. And that thought just reeled back to me.
Yeah.
Because start calling back Christ again. The thought reeled back to me is that when we pray, like when you talked about the life being made manifest in me, all right, I got to where I started praying this prayer quite often, and not just at home, not just with my kids, not just you know with the family or whatever, just with in any situation I'm asked to pray. The one thing that I'm always trying to remind myself in those prayers is this: to let me be Jesus with skin to people.
Yep.
Amen. God, give me opportunities to be Jesus with skin. Do that
Christ
for
made
me.
Manifest in the mortal.
Yeah. And that's it.
Nothing more important on the outside.
Yeah. That's what I hope. That's my plan. That's my prayer all the time.
And that's not something we can go out there and force ourselves to be.
All right.
You can do lots of good things, but there's a whole big difference.
Right.
When it's coming from his life in you, because you can't help but do it then.
Good stuff right there, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Very good stuff. So not bad. All right. Who do you say he is?
I say he's all in all.
That's right. All in all. It's good stuff.
Nothing besides.
All right. Here's the question to you. And maybe you can get on our page on Facebook, Coffee and Conversation, answer that question. Who do you say that he is? And write your answer down for us, and let's get into a conversation about it with you. I know that those things can be hard to write out sometimes. I'm not going to sit here and condemn.
Nope.
I don't know about him. I'm just saying what I am going to tell you, though, is my heart and who he is and who I feel like. You know, I just want to hear from you. Who do you say that he is? You know, that's an important question.
Oh, yeah. This is the most important question we ask ourselves in the morning. Because when we get in hard times and stuff.
That's right.
That's when it's really important.
Exactly right. All right. Well, thanks to once again to Xander Realty.
Yes, for letting us use the office.
And letting us be here this week.
Pat Hamlet.
Yes, thank you very much. And I'm just excited about the opportunity to get rolling with this again. And this is just the first of hopefully many down the line that we are going to do. And if we throw a question up out there and you see it, answer it. And it gives us something to fuel the conversation with here.
Yeah.
As we move forward and doing the rest of these podcasts. So thank you for joining us this week.
I think we're shooting for what, one every other week right now?
About one every other week would be good. It kind of gives me a balance of you know, being able to frame it out and with us being in two different spots now.
Yeah.
And it gives me an opportunity to go, okay, now I'm scheduled this and now, you know, cause that's, I'm trying to get 1% better, you know, atomic habits, you know, trying to get better at some things. And one of those things is calendaring it out. And so I know that as a principal now, I'm going to have to calendar out my life. And make sure all those things are working in the system.
I'm gonna have to calendar mine out just so I can remember.
That's right. That's right. You don't have to go.
That's kind of what I felt the other morning when I realized I had stood Jason up. I didn't figure he cared, but it bothered me greatly.
It didn't bother me at all. All right, we'll see you next time. Coffee and Conversations.